Today, it is an honor and a privilege to share the pulpit that God has entrusted to me with a young man who came to us by way of Shaw Air Force Base, and that would be my brother, Jake Hall. Jake and Heather landed here. It was fascinating. There was about 14 churches, I think, on that list that the director of the Dakotas Baptist Convention put. We weren't at the top of that list. He just randomly pulled churches that were within a close proximity to Shaw. And so the Halls landed here, and they plugged right in, and they have been a blessing. And so as I've gotten to know them, one of the cool things is Jake says, you know, I have a desire to preach and teach God's word, which what's interesting, before he left the last Sunday in the Dakotas, he preached at the church that they were at. And so, man, what a blessing. I just say, hey, it was nice coming into this week. I got sick, and so not having to prep and do that, it was just a breath of fresh air. But it's not just about that. It's about us honoring what God's word says. And in 2 Timothy chapter 2, in Paul's second letter to his protege, to this young man that he's investing in named Timothy, he tells Timothy in chapter 2, verse 2, he says this. He said, "What you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, commit or entrust to faithful men who will also be able to teach others also." Listen, Bethel Baptist Church should never be about one person. Except the only person it should be about is who? About Christ. His word says that in Colossians 1:18, I think it is, it says that in all things he might have preeminence. It's not about me. It's not about Pastor Austin. It's not about our Sunday school deacons, Sunday school teachers, life group leaders. It is about Christ, Christ crucified, Christ risen. It is about our Savior. Amen. That's what we just celebrated in this Christmas season. And so in just a moment, I'm going to pray. But Jake, brother, I have got my Bible, my notebook, and my pen, and I'm ready to sit and listen to you preach and teach and learn something today as well. So I encourage you, that's what we're to do. Show up on Sunday, right? Bring your phone, bring something to write with, bring a notebook, and jot down something, doodle. I had one young lady I talked to recently. They visited Bethel, and they didn't land here, but that's okay. And she said, hey, I was doodling. She said, that was good. I was doodling while you were preaching. I was like, okay, that's cool. She's like, but that's how I, you know, stay engaged. So I just encourage you, open your Bibles, turn or tap there, and let's see what the Lord has to say to us. Let me pray for Jake and pray for our time in the Word. Father God, thank you for Jake. Lord, thank you, men and women, and the sacrifices that they make, that their families make, as they defend the freedoms that we so richly enjoy. And so, Father, thank you for just the servant hearts that this family has. Father, thank you for Jake and for his friendship, for his prayers, for his sharpening. As your word says, iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And so, Father, thank you for the sharpening and encouragement that he has given this pastor in the season that he has been at Bethel. And now, Father, I pray that you would just hide him behind the cross. Lord, you have given Jake a message that we need to hear today as we look back on what you've done this year, as we look forward to what we hope you'll do in the coming year, as we humbly and obediently follow you. And so, Father, speak through Jake, give him boldness and clarity to share the message that we need to hear and apply to our lives. Father, we thank you. We love you. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Appreciate you, brother. And thank you. You've been a great mentor to me, and thank you for trusting me with this, my brother. All right. Are you growing in your faith? There are times when believers feel that they are in a rut and that they are not growing in their faith. Spiritual growth is the process of growing to be like Jesus, though we'll never be perfect and on this side of heaven. Spiritual disciplines can help us grow in our faith. Don Whitney, author of Spiritual Disciplines for the Christian Life, defines spiritual disciplines as those practices found in Scripture that promote spiritual growth among believers in the gospel of Christ. There are some spiritual disciplines that believers know and that are foundational to our faith. So the first ones I will be going over are the two most basic and obvious spiritual disciplines, praying and reading your Bible. Prayer is one of two parts of our two-way communication with God. In Philippians 4:6, it says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Put simply, this verse means worry about nothing, pray about everything. Anytime that I felt anxious or worried, I remember this verse and I pray. What follows is found in the next verse in Philippians 4:7. "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Every time I've given it to God, all the worries have ceased. I've put my burden on Him, the one who can take an unlimited burden. God does not want us to worry because He is in control. There is an old hymn that y'all may know it. It's called, "How Can I Fear?" The chorus goes like this. "How can I fear? Jesus is near. He ever watches over me. Worries all cease. He gives me peace. How can I fear with Jesus?" Pray. You can do it anywhere and everywhere. Eyes closed, eyes open. Hands clasped, hands to your side, on your knees, standing. On your way to work, before that very stressful meeting, or even before a phone call. You can pray anywhere and everywhere. And prayer is not just for God, it is also for you. It helps us to align our hearts with His, and it helps you to focus on Him and not on ourselves. Next discipline is Bible reading. This is the next part of the two-way communication with God, where prayer is us speaking with God, reading His word is God speaking to us. A couple weeks ago, Pastor Chris taught us the four ways that we hear from God: through His word, through His spirit, through other believers, and through our circumstances. Number one should always be His word. If you feel or think that it comes from the Spirit and it conflicts with the word, it is not from God. If other believers are telling you something, the first place you should always look to hear from God is His word. Job 23:12 says, "Neither have I gone back from the commandment of His lips. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my daily food." More than my necessary food. Job was saying that God's word is more necessary than physical food. Do you see God's word this way? Do you read the word as often as you eat? In Matthew 4:4, this was Jesus talking, and it says, "He answered, 'It is written, man must not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" God's word is our spiritual food. We should be consuming it every day. Peter said in 1 Peter 2:2 that like newborn infants that desire the pure milk of the word, so that if you may grow up into your salvation, need His word to spiritually grow. I often hear the question of what Bible should you read? What translation? What version? There's so many out there. My answer has always been, and I'm sure Pastor Chris has said this before, it's the Bible you read. If you like the KJV, read the KJV. If it's NIV, NIV, ESV, NKJV, etc. If you have a preferred Bible, read that one. However, I do have to bring this up. The New World Translation is a Bible I would not recommend. It was written by the Jehovah's Witnesses to promote their idea that goes against the Trinity. That would be about the only Bible I can think of that I would not recommend. So pray and read your Bible. These are two of the foundational and universally accepted spiritual disciplines in the Christian churches. Every Christian understands that they need to pray and read their Bible. If you're a Christian and you're not praying and reading your Bible, this is a clear indicator that you are not spiritually growing. Communication is the key in every relationship. And I can tell you right now, the problem is not God. Either you are not listening to him, you're not talking to him, or both. The rest of these disciplines can piggyback on just these two spiritual disciplines, praying and reading your Bible. With that, I'll go ahead and point out real quick, we got New Year's Day coming up. Today's New Year's Eve. I want to share that the only New Year's resolution that I've ever been able to accomplish is that on the January 1st, this was 8 years ago, I decided I was going to do a reading plan and read through the whole Bible that year. That was the only time I've ever succeeded in a New Year's resolution. So we have these green and red wristbands, and I also encourage you, read your Bibles and think about committing to it this next year. The next spiritual discipline I want to talk about is Bible study. In 1 Corinthians 3:2, Paul had this to say to the Christians in Corinth. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, since you were not ready for it. In fact, you are still not ready. Paul was comparatively growing. In Hebrews 5:11 through 14, the known author, but traditionally known to be Paul, said, we have a great deal to say about this, and it is difficult to explain since you have become too lazy to understand. Although by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the basic principles of God's revelation again. You need milk, not solid food. Now everyone who lives on milk is inexperienced with the message about righteousness because he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, for those whose senses have been trained to distinguish between good and evil. In these verses, milk is basic Christian doctrine or principles, and solid food is advanced Christian principles. Some of us are in need of spiritual milk, and some of us should be transitioning into solid food. Reading and studying your Bible are completely different. Well, they're different, not completely, but different. Reading the Bible is simply just reading it, and we do need to read the Bible every day. But studying the Bible is digging deeper into what the Bible says. It's learning what the Hebrew words are, what the Greek words are, finding out what's going on in the background, finding out what the purpose and who the audience is, finding out where the setting's at. So number four is verse memorization. I feel that verse memorization is one of those spiritual disciplines that has been lacking in my generation and younger. Pastor Chuck Swindoll said, I know of no other single practice in the Christian life more rewarding, practically speaking, than memorizing scripture. No other single exercise pays greater spiritual dividends. Your prayer life will be strengthened, your witnessing will be sharper and much more effective. Your attitude and your outlook will begin to change. Your mind will become more alert and observant. Your confidence and assurance will be enhanced. Your faith will be solidified. I have to agree that since memorizing scripture, it has been a very rewarding experience. Psalm 119, verse 11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. If there's a temptation that you are going through and you are hearing God's word in your mind, it is much harder or it is much easier to resist or flee that temptation. 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17 says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." Good works will naturally come to those who have God's word constantly flowing in their minds. It is also harder for evil thoughts and deeds to come to mind when God's word is already filling it up. It also helps in the spiritual discipline of Bible study, because I will be, in my experience, I have read, and it gives me a greater understanding of what's going on in that passage. It helps in prayer. When I pray with others who are dealing with a certain challenge, there are verses that come to mind, and I pray God's word with them, encouraging them and reminding them that God promises to get them through it. The next spiritual discipline is fasting. Fasting is one of those things we do not hear a lot in the Baptist church. It's almost kind of like a swear word. But Matthew 6:16, Jesus said, "Whenever you fast, don't be gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so that their fasting is obvious to people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward." Jesus did not say, "if you fast," but "when you fast." Jesus expected us to fast. He said that when you fast, do not go around showing off that you're fasting. So, brothers and sisters, if you're fasting, I hadn't noticed. Fasting teaches us to resist our physical desires and to focus on Him. When you think about food, pray. If it's lunchtime, pray. Whenever you're feeling hungry, pray. Another benefit of fasting regularly also is good for your body as well, so there is a healthy benefit as well. Food fasts are not the only type of fast. Additionally, you can do an electronics fast. So for me, electronics fast is a little hard to do since in my line of work, I have to work on a computer on a regular basis. So what I do is I do a video media fast. So no YouTube, no movies, no television. But what that does is that it gives me the extra time to look in God's word. It gives me time to study. It gives me time to read other Christian books and get a deeper understanding of and further getting me to spiritually grow. So with fasting, it gives us more time. So back to fasting from food. What does that look like? When I was new to fasting, I started by just skipping a meal. This was something I had never done before, so it's something I wanted to try because it's commanded in Scripture. So once I started skipping a meal, it wasn't that hard anymore, so I advanced to doing it 24 hours, 2 days a week. So there are many types of fasting you can do. The one that I've been doing has been water-only fasting, where you don't eat any food, but you do drink water. Other fasts include the Daniel fast, which would be fruit and vegetables, eating those only and drinking water. Or there's the dry fast, which I will have to admit I'd never done, but that is not consuming anything. The whole point of fasting is to get closer to God. It gives you more time with Him. Fasting always goes with prayer, so when you fast, pray. Next, meditation. Meditation is one of those things that most Americans would connect it with, like Hinduism or yoga. But the Bible teaches that the children of God should meditate on. The first one, found in Psalm 1:1-2, says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." We should meditate on his word often. Joshua 1:8 also tells us that to meditate on the book of the law daily. This spiritual discipline pairs up really well with verse memorization. When you have verses memorized, it makes meditating on those verses much easier. It's often that I just meditate where I'd be focused on God, and there's always a verse that's always coming through my head when I meditate. All right, so how do we meditate? In Psalm 46:10, it says that we are to be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. It is much harder to meditate when you're moving around. And you cannot meditate while you're talking with others or watching television. Do as Jesus did. Find a quiet place and spend time with God, focusing on him. The second thing we should meditate on is found in Psalm 63:6. When I think of you as I lie on my bed, I meditate on you during the night watches. We are to meditate on God. Meditate on his character and meditate on who he is. The third thing will be found in Psalm 77:12. I will reflect on all you have done and meditate on your actions. Meditate on what he has done for us. Meditate on all the good things that he's done. Meditate on his word, on his character, and on all that he's done for you. Next, journaling. There are a few times in the Bible where God had called his followers to create a memorial. One example was found in Genesis 28:10 through 22. This is a story where Jesus slept and had a vision of God in heaven. He woke and said in verse 16, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I did not know it." So he set up a stone as a mark and called the place Bethel, meaning house of God, which is where our church gets its name. Just as people make memorials to remember things of the past, journaling is a way for us to remember what God has done for us. Psalm 77:11 through 12 says, "I will remember the Lord's work. Yes, I will remember your ancient wonders. I will reflect on all you have done and meditate on your actions." Humans have a short memory. So we need to write down what he has done for us and the things that he has revealed to us. When there is something new you learn from his word, write it down. When God reveals something to you or you have a deeper understanding of a verse, write it down. Keeping a journal and going back to it regularly will remind you that whatever situation that you're dealing with, God has gotten you through it. And whatever you're dealing with today, God will get you through it. Life groups. Hebrews 3:12 through 14 says, "Watch out, brothers and sisters, so that they won't be any of you an evil, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourages each other daily while it is still called today, so that none of you is hardened by sin's deception. For we have become participants in Christ if we hold firmly until the end the reality that we had at the start." Did you catch it? We need to encourage each other daily. Back in that day, there were no phones, no cars, no texting, but they were expected to leave their homes and meet up and encourage their brothers and sisters in Christ. Not just on Sunday, but daily. Getting together and encouraging each other only on Sunday mornings is not enough. Life groups, D groups, small groups, etc., are all small groups within the church that meet up together and focus on God. It is in these groups that we can do Bible studies together, worship together, practice memory verses, pray and fast, etc. This should be the measurement of great churches today. Not the attendance of how many people show up or how many baptisms that have, but how many people are plugged in into these life groups. 40 or 50% of their churches are in the life groups, that's considered a healthy church. But great churches are up in the 80%. There's even one church I've heard that had up to about 130%. I was wondering, how is that possible? They're having people that are not even members of their church coming to these life groups. They are being invited into people's homes to learn about God. They are having brothers and sisters that are bringing people in and praying over the lost. There's evangelism going on. Life groups have had the greatest impact and the greatest spiritual growth in my life. It was in life groups that I learned to evangelize others. It was being a part of the life group that I ended up becoming a leader of the evangelism ministry in Korea. I was a leader of evangelism in Korea, and I didn't even speak Korean. But I had my brothers and my sisters there helping me along the way. Full transparency, when I volunteered for it, I had no idea what I was volunteering for. But it was one of those things I always considered a weakness. Evangelism, I always said, was a weakness because discipleship is where I'm stronger at. I'm better at teaching, right? God said, no, you're not going to use that excuse anymore. Here's evangelism ministry. But I sure learned in that opportunity. It was in life groups that encouraged me to practice verse memorization, and it's something I still practice to this day. My mentor in this, he got me into verse memorization, and I think I've been doing it for a couple years now. I learn a new one about each week. He learns one every day. He has up to about 10,000 verses memorized. I'd like to say I'm going to meet that goal one day, but he started earlier than I did, and yeah, he's much better at it than I am. If you're anything like me, you got a terrible memory as well. It was in life groups where I found other brothers that had the same struggles that I've had. I got to meet up with those brothers. They prayed over me. I prayed over them. We encouraged each other even through rock bottoms. Had a brother had a fight with his son. And if it got out, he would have got fired. Who knows how bad it would have went. But he got raw, shared it with us, and we prayed over him. We have brothers that struggle with addiction. There's a reason small groups and life groups help people get out of addiction, because they work. It was in life groups where I had left for the first time to go to Korea, and my wife was staying busy, and she was supposed to be meeting with her life group that night, and she canceled out. Knowing what was going on, her sisters from her life group showed up at the house with food and movies and brought her back in. Life groups are about doing life together. They are about loving and encouraging one another. There should not be any brother or sister in our church that does not feel loved. In John 13:34-35, it says, and this is what Jesus is talking, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another." Do you want to show the world that you're a follower of Christ? Love your brothers and sisters. "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye love one another." There are other spiritual disciplines So these are not the only spiritual disciplines found in the Bible. They're just the ones that I had covered. There are practices such as charity, hospitality, worship, evangelism, service, etc. You can find a good number of spiritual disciplines in the Bible. These are just the ones that God had put on my heart to share. The main point of this message is spiritual growth. If you are growing, keep on growing. Pick up an additional spiritual discipline that you haven't practiced. If you're not growing, pray, read your Bible, pick up another spiritual discipline. The devil loves it when Christians are not growing. When there is no prayer that gets in the way of his work, he is free to do his work. The devil loves it. When a believer is focused on the world and not the word, he loves it. The further a sheep is away from the shepherd, the more danger that sheep is in. Likewise, the further a believer is away from God, the easier target that they are for the devil. As John Philpott Curran said, evil prospers when good men do nothing. I'm not going to lie to you. Spiritual disciplines take work. They take work and they take extra time. Sometimes it's hard to do, but it's worth it. Those who have been married for a while can tell you it is worth it to know more about your spouse. It is worth it to communicate with your spouse. My wife Heather and I will be celebrating 17 years of marriage here next month. And I can say I love her now more today than the first year of our marriage. And the reason I can say that today is because there was a lot of work and there was extra time that was put into that relationship. So with that, I have to ask, how important is your relationship with God? How much did his sacrifice mean to you? Some of you have received God's free gift of salvation, so how will you respond to his message? Those of you who have not received God's free gift, what are you waiting for? God, the creator of heaven and earth, wants to have a relationship with you. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He wants that relationship with you. He wants you to hear him. He wants you to talk to him. What are you waiting for? I would like to invite the worship team to come up. And let's pray. Abba, Father, thank you for today. Thank you for everything that you've given us that we do not deserve. Lord, encourage us to go throughout the rest of this today and the rest of this week and open up our hearts to what you want us to do, Lord. Guide us throughout this life and guide us through the challenges that we face. Lord, we thank you for all the wonderful things that you've given us. We love you and we thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.